still want you.
Hello, brother. I'm Grace.
Hello, brother. I'm Stephanie.
And this is Doppelgangers. Today, we're talking about season 7, episode 15 of The Vampire Diaries, which is called I Would For You.
And I'm in my boxing ring fighting for Damon, but I'm getting beat.
I gotta say, Damon Gurley's, welcome to the trenches. You have not been here in quite some time.
Yeah, it's been good to be a Damon Gurley for a long, long time.
Stefan doesn't have an incredible showing this week, but I think it's pretty easy to defend the choices he makes, and I will do so. But man, Damon Gurley's, how does it feel in the trenches? I mean, just bad, bad showing from Damon.
I mean, he started the episode strong. And then, you know, I could see the reasoning for his choices. But by the end, it's like, okay, Damon.
Just don't. Lots to unpack this week.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
I'll start, as always, by reading the synopsis from Vampire Diaries Wiki. While Stefan and Valerie search for a magical herb that can keep him hidden from Reyna, Damon comes up with his own plan to take her down for good. However, while at the armory, Bonnie makes a shocking discovery about Reyna that brings Damon's plan to a screeching halt. Elsewhere, a conversation with Caroline leaves Stefan questioning their future together, while Matt decides it may be time to truly take a stand against the vampires of Mystic Falls. Finally, as the season's middle chapter draws to a close, Damon's desire to take himself out of the game ramps up as he races to complete unfinished business with Stefan and Bonnie.
But he doesn't complete shit. That's the whole issue.
And also, let me say, even though that says the season's middle chapter comes to a close, this is not the end of the Reyna chapter.
Okay, I thought we'd have at least a little bit more.
I just want to confirm that. It's clear that we are pretty much at the point of time jump.
Yeah, I'm assuming next episode, like, we're 3 years from now.
Yeah, all the pieces are lined up now. We know how we got to all of our little flash forwards.
And we got a whole group of the flash forwards all played in a row, which was helpful.
Yes. And it is interesting that it takes until episode 15 and, you know, effectively 16 for this time jump to be permanent. We spend a lot of time in this halfway space and it doesn't serve the show.
We probably could have moved it a little faster. Again, cut some of the Julian fat.
Yes, that's the thing, is that the reason we stay in the present is really to deal with Lily and Julian, two duds.
And all the heretics, which are mostly gone now out of the equation, except for the one who we want dead.
Well, and we don't know what's up with Nora and Mary Louise, because yeah, they were captured by the armory and then no one's heard from them in episodes.
I assume they're just in the armory somewhere, siphoning stuff for them. I don't know.
Yeah, some kind of tool for the armory. I mean, if I were a supernatural artifact collector, I do think I'd want a heretic or two.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
It's handy to have the witch power around, evidenced by them wanting Bonnie in the mix. And, you know, the siphon thing is cool.
The siphon thing must be helpful.
Yeah.
We open the episode in the woods outside of New Orleans where Klaus killed Reyna last week. Reyna wakes up. There's ash, so we know she was just doing her fire thing. She's full naked.
That seems to be a characteristic of it.
Yeah, which makes sense. I guess her clothes burn.
And when she woke up here, I was like, oh, so we're not getting more Klaus this week. Okay, awesome.
Like, oh, okay, so it was just one episode. Yeah, that is a quick lesson to learn. We're done. We're done with the crossover.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're not done with the crossover. They do it on the originals too, but for this show, we're done with the crossover.
We're done at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Reyna sees there's a tent and some clothes on a clothesline. So she takes those clothes, which happen to fit her perfectly. What luck.
And this camper wakes up and is like, hey,
where's my Lululemon? She finds her sword just off somewhere else in the woods, picks it up, and she gets moving. She's got places to be today.
Yeah, one thing about her, she does not stay still for long, which I guess is her whole thing.
Yeah. We go to Mystic Falls. We get some, like, establishing shots of the town itself, which we haven't seen in a while. Same old same, abandoned cars all over town like it's the fucking Walking Dead, even though everyone evacuated in their cars.
It really is giving Walking Dead. It's like people didn't walk out of Mystic Falls.
Yeah. They're not travelers.
Yeah.
Penny is walking. She has headphones on. She's walking in the middle of the street by herself. She's wearing heeled boots. Like, it could not more obviously be a trap. I just...
Like, I'm sorry. If you as a vampire fall for this trap in the abandoned town, like, I don't want to say you deserve to die, but you do.
Yeah. A vampire approaches her like, wow, what a day I'm having.
He said, what luck.
And Penny turns to him and she says, hey, what do you want? And he says, just looking for a bite. He flashes his veins. She says, oh my God, you're a vampire. And he says, and you're lunch. You don't need to have a conversation with her. You should just bit her.
Yeah, why do you even say anything? Like, why'd you let her know you were there? Just run. Run and bite.
The vampire gets shot by Matt and falls to the ground, but he doesn't die right away. And Penny says, shouldn't he be turning all gray? All the other ones turn gray. Unless, of course, you missed. Now's not the time to flirt. I mean, it's just, you're killing a man. Don't flirt over a corpse.
And this guy's doubled over like, what?
This was a trap? And it's like a boy and girlfriend?
He said, oh, this sucks.
Matt says, how many vampires have I killed in the last few days? And Penny says, a lot, but who knows how many you would have killed if you hadn't missed a third of the time. Well, girl, how many have you killed?
Yeah.
Excuse the hell out of you.
And also, like, you clearly barely know anything. So even if he misses a third of the time, at least he knows what's going on.
Well, and they all end up dead eventually. And Matt says he's got a thick jacket on. I can't see exactly where his heart is, which is fair.
I mean, you can't see exactly where the heart is no matter what. Like, the jacket doesn't affect it. Maybe the bullet didn't go all the way through, but like the heart doesn't move that much.
And to be fair, the bullet is small, so it's different than like a steak.
Yeah.
But still, it's like, whatever, dude, it doesn't matter. She says, outerwear, that's your excuse. And then she shoots him and he does die, the vampire.
Because she's closer to him and not actively threatening someone. So, you know, she has more time to line the shot up.
Exactly.
Defending Matt.
I know. Let me say on mic, we had a listener reach out to us on Instagram and say, every time you guys defend Matt, you say it's the exception, but it's not. And that's so true.
She gagged us so bad. She's like, you always say it's the exception, but like, I'm binging it. It's not the exception. And she's right. Like,
she's right. I mean, look, Matt Donovan is a universally hated character on this show. But one thing about me, I'm going to defend Matt Donovan for some reason. And I'm going to do it later, too, by the way. Like, it's going to come up this episode.
Like, I don't defend his broad storyline because I think the cop thing is dumb, but like, he wouldn't still be alive if he weren't kinging like semi-regularly.
Yeah, unfortunately, he does have a tendency to king. I'm, you know, coming out as what might as well be a Matt Donovan stan because...
I won't say that. I think he's only hated because there are so many other good characters on the show. Like, all the other core ones, I would rank above him. But that doesn't mean that he's, like, not doing cool things once in a while.
Well, and I do think the problem a lot of people have with him, which I also have with him, is that he says, like, he hates vampires, but then he makes exceptions and he just goes back and forth. Yeah. And I do have that problem with him. But, again, he's been alive this long as a human. He's pretty good at picking his battles.
You know, he's just trying to do his best. And, yeah, sometimes his best isn't great, but sometimes his best is really good. And I can't truthfully say I'm like a huge Matt Donovan hater when, one, I'm standing Jeremy, who, let's be honest, isn't that different, and two, like, I have been a very active Matt Rebecca truther.
Yeah.
And I like Rebecca, so I have to like Matt enough to let Rebecca be with him. So she gagged us bad. She was right.
Sorry, like, when Matt kings, he kings. I'll continue to say that. Anyway, Matt says, you gonna stand here and brag all day or help me load him into the truck? We gotta get him out of here before... And then Crystal approaches with like a posse of other vampires and says, Julian's other vampires get suspicious. This is actually so funny because he says, we gotta get him out of here before the... And Crystal says, Julian's other vampires get suspicious. You didn't even complete the sentence correctly.
Well, and so you guys are Julian's vampires? Aren't you like, hey, where'd he go?
Yeah. Are any of you concerned?
I guess they must just be like, these two probably killed him. But like, do you want to ask if you actually care about him? Because I didn't think you did.
And now is Crystal the lead of the vampires? Like, it matters. It's like, oh, okay. Crystal says, too late. So Matt reaches for his gun and Crystal says, yeah, touch it and die. actually, why don't you die anyway?
So I might as well touch the gun.
Yeah, might as well shoot at least one of them. And then all the vampires get shot by Reyna.
Yeah.
Penny says, oh my God, you saved our lives. And Reyna says, yeah, I did, which means you owe me one. Have you guys ever heard of a vampire named Stefan Salvatore?
And Penny's like, nope. And Matt's like, me neither.
Doesn't ring a bell. We go over to the running from Reyna Cruz car. Valerie and Stefan are driving together. Valerie's driving. Stefan is rebandaging his scar. And Stefan says, hey, can you pay attention to the road more? Valerie says, I could, but then I might miss the world's largest ball of yarn coming up on the left. There it goes. Not sure what I was expecting. Shut the fuck up.
You're not funny. You're not cute. Fucking drive.
Stefan says, well, that was the last of Freya's herbs, which means it's only a matter of time before they wear off and Reyna can track me. It should be noted that we took a little bit of a leap from where we were last episode. At the end of last episode, Klaus was taking Stefan to see a witch. Now, at the beginning of this episode, Stefan has herbs from someone named Freya. That middle part, where Stefan goes to see a witch, whose name, let's just say, is Freya.
Yeah.
Because that's true. That happened on the originals portion of this. So we see a couple clips in the recap that are from the originals because it's a woman we don't know who is Freya, who is not on this show.
Mm-hmm. And I was watching the recap and I was like, did I forget something? Did I click on the wrong episode? Like, what's the deal here?
And essentially, Freya gave Stefan a paste of herbs to cover his scar that will stop Reyna from being able to track him and told him where to get more herbs.
And I did, when we were in Covington, I did see bracelets with Freya's name on it.
I did notice that and I wondered if you remembered that. Do you have any idea who this Freya is? Do you want to talk about this? I know I don't want to get us too in the originals.
I mean, I just assume she's a witch. Who's friends with Klaus? Like, I don't really have any more guess than that.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, how else would you?
I'm sure there's something more interesting about it.
Do you think Freya's like a main character on the originals?
Yeah, I would say a supporting character.
You know, we can see on the originals, you know, Julie Plec is doing sort of the same thing. Two brothers, a brunette girl. What do you think is like Freya's counterpart on this show, if you had to guess?
I mean, I feel like it's got to be Bonnie. I think the other option is like a Jeremy level.
Sure.
But I think it's, you know, I think she's pretty in there because they need a witch. I mean,
you think she'll be someone we get to know quite well?
Yes.
Valerie says, well, good thing we're on our way to get more herbs. And Stefan says, are we? Because it feels like we're on our way to the world's largest waste of time. Get her ass.
You said it, not me.
Valerie says, we have to take back roads to avoid being spotted. Spotted by who? That doesn't make any fucking sense.
If Reyna can't track you, what are the odds she's going to spot you on a freeway?
Yeah, honestly.
And you had to take back roads because you're going to a greenhouse in the middle of the woods. Like that's why you're on the road.
Just say that. Valerie says, you've only been running a few days, Stefan. Think of it like it's an adventure. Oh, yeah, that's how you felt about it when Beau got stabbed. You thought it was a fun little adventure, right? No, you didn't.
She thinks it's an adventure because she gets to hang out with Stefan without his girlfriend there, which, get the fuck away from him.
This is the only way she gets to hang out with Stefan without his girlfriend there, so she has to make it work.
Yeah.
Stefan says, I don't want an adventure. I just want to get these herbs and have a nice, quiet, home-cooked meal with my girlfriend. And Valerie says, and then do what? Pay bills? Talk about your day? Ugh. Are you fucking kidding me? You wanted to have his baby and be a family with him. You wish you could pay your bills and talk about your day with him. You absolute fucking loser. I was thinking about this morning when I was in the shower. I actually don't think I can think of a fictional character I hate more than Valerie. I just hate her so much on any show. I really don't think there's a character I hate more. I really don't think, I can't think of one.
Yeah. It's so annoying. Like, what are you going to talk about your day? What are you doing right now?
You're talking about your day, bitch.
And no one's paying bills. We're vampires. We're compelling shit. Like, what exactly are you referring to?
And again, Caroline has been nothing but nice to Valerie.
Way nicer than she should be.
Except for the time when she was like, why don't you just kill Julian? Which was fair.
Yeah, which was after like 2.5 months of her doing bullcrap. So, yeah, I think Caroline has been way nicer than I would have been to Valerie.
Yeah, because Valerie's been obviously trying to date Stefan for years.
Valerie should be thrilled she hasn't been slapped yet, because I would have slapped her weeks ago.
She would be held captive by the Armory if I had something to say. Stefan says, "You don't actually enjoy this, do you?" And Valerie says, "There's a certain constant in the lack of constants. Once you accept it, it's invigorating."
No, she enjoys it because she's up your ass.
She's literally never felt that way, and everything about her character implies she wouldn't feel that way.
Yeah, because she hated being on a ship, even.
And she hated being in the damn prison world. She says, "We're here. What is this place?" And Stefan says, "Well, according to Freya, all the herbs witches use are stored here, just in case something happens to them." And Valerie says, "All of them? Every single herb they use is stored in this one greenhouse with no lock and no protection spell over it?"
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, whatever. Like, okay. Valerie says, "Well, I hope you know what this particular herb looks like." And Stefan says, "Why is that?" Valerie says, "Because witches are very fond of their herbs, and it's like a big greenhouse." It's like, okay, I'm sure that Freya gave him a name and a picture.
Well, also, yeah, like, you told me all their herbs were in the greenhouse. Like, I assumed that meant more than three.
We go over to the hospital where Bonnie is recovering. She's awake. Yay. And she gets a call from Enzo, which she declines. Damon comes in with coffee and says, "Hey, good, you're up. How's Bonica Magica?" And she says, "Not great, but good enough to make sure you never call me that again." She magically grabs a scalpel to, like, threaten him. Even though that's a cute nickname, I'd keep it. He says, "Ooh." And she says, "Someone's cheery." And he says, "Well, I'm a man with a plan. I'm killing myself."
Yeah, he's like, "I'm happy because I'm going to be dead."
Bonnie says, "What's your plan?" And he says, "Oh, it's a secret." And she says, "Does it have to do with killing Reyna the Huntress?" And he says, "I'll never tell, but yes."
And I know it, like, it varies, but if he's not telling you a plan, it's not a good one. Because if he made a good plan, he would be talking about it, because he doesn't do that very often.
Exactly. Bonnie says, "Good, how can I help?" And Damon says, "You can't. This is the Damon only show. Damon versus Crayna." Crayna meaning crazy Reyna.
Yeah.
Classic. Bonnie says, "Because that won't get you straight back in hell. You don't even know how to kill her." And then she gets another call from Enzo, we can presume. And she says, "But you know who might?" And Damon says, "Don't even think about it." And Bonnie says, "Enzo's been calling me nonstop, probably to apologize for yesterday." All love to Bonnie, but why would he apologize? You cut off his hand.
Yeah, that really doesn't sound like him. Even if he was in the wrong, like, he's not really good at admitting that.
He's not known for his remorse.
Yeah.
Bonnie says, "I bet if I go back to the Armory, I can find more information." Damon takes her phone and she says, "What the hell?" And Damon says, "Look around, Bonnie. I'm not here for the filmy hospital pudding. You almost died in that place and I'll never let that happen again. Promise me you will stay out of this, Bonnie. No one needs to get hurt for me anymore. I can handle Reyna." She doesn't promise shit.
Yeah, she's like, "I'm not going to even respond to that.
I'm not even dignifying that with a response." We go over to the grill. Reyna has, you know, some guy tied up. It's a vampire, obviously. She holds her sword up to him and she says, "Here's where we stand. I've killed five of your friends because they couldn't tell me where Stefan Salvatore was. I sure hope you can." The guy's like, "Well, spoiler alert, I can't."
And this guy looks like he's drunk already today. He's like, "Girl, even if I knew, I certainly don't have all my faculties."
Yeah, he's like, "Do you know where the Fight Club moved to? It's usually here by now."
He said, "Where are all the people that used to be here? Oh, you killed them? Oh, okay. Well,
I'm going to head out.
I guess that's the end of that, huh?" It's fun while it lasted.
Matt and Penny are also there watching Reyna work. And Reyna says, "You two, watch and learn. The key is to treat them like you would a wild animal. Respecting the danger, but recognizing they're beneath you. But that they serve a purpose. For example, this one will provide information. Tell me everything you know about Stefan Salvatore, or I'll send you to hell for eternity." This is just like Connor Jordan, where she's like grabbed someone who she thinks she's telling them everything they've ever learned about vampires. And they're like, "I'm well aware of how to treat a vampire, actually."
At least she's half right, because Penny doesn't know shit and Penny's eating this up.
Yeah. Damon enters and he says, "You're barking up the wrong vampire, sister." Stefan's antisocial, not many friends, actually no friends at all. Rude. "But I hear he has a very handsome and charming brother. You might want to talk to him." And Reyna says, "Yeah, stupid brother. Seems foolish of you to come back here." And Damon says, "I know, right? But to be honest, like, I'm really not that brave. But I did have a shockingly effective ally tell me you were here." And then Matt points his gun at Reyna and shoots her. And thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Good job. And Penny's like, what the hell?
I should say Matt shoots Raina, and then Damon goes and pulls Raina's heart out. And Damon vampire runs, of course. And so Penny is quite shook by this turn of events.
Because she's like, okay, he's kind of acting like a vampire, but I thought we were killing all those. And she made it seem that way for sure. And she helped us today.
To be fair to Penny, from what Matt has told her, this doesn't make any sense. But also, to be fair to Matt, he's only had so long to talk to her, and he has a lot of vampires in town to kill. He can deal with the intricacies after they kill the bad ones.
Yeah, he has plenty of low-hanging fruit ones that he just needs someone else to help him kill. So he's not really that like concerned with explaining to her that like there are some that are allies of his, because he's like, well, you're just learning how to kill him. Let's warm up to all that.
Yeah, and they're all doing their own thing. So he's like, I'll just get to Stefan and Damon eventually. So Penny runs to Raina and says, hey, what the hell did you do? And Matt says, it's okay. Damon says, oh, you almost said friend. How sweet. Matt says his brother is a friend, and that's the only reason I'm helping him.
Matt says, let's not get it twisted, girl.
Damon says, and the world yawned. And then he picks up the sword. Thank you. Someone finally picking up this damn sword, and says, get rid of this thing. Unfortunately, he gives it to Matt. He should keep it on his person and figure that out, or at least separate the stone and the sword.
Yeah, I've been a big proponent. Give him the sword, take the stone, destroy the stone. Sorry to all those, you know, vampires stuck in the stone. I mean, you've already been in there. Sorry to Beau particularly.
Let's go ahead and put that stone in acid after all.
Yeah, that plan was productive.
And I think if you're in hell, if you're in the Phoenix Stone and the Phoenix Stone gets destroyed, you might get to go to peace.
That's true.
Why not?
Or you might just burn up into nothingness and acid, which honestly, compared to hell, might not be the worst situation.
Maybe you'll get sucked up by the wind.
Yeah, wherever the wind brings people.
We still don't know. Matt says, anything else? And Damon says, yeah, you know where I can get a buzzsaw? And Matt says, yeah, a fucking hardware store.
And I'm like thrilled someone's taking my plan and putting it into action. I mean, not really, because it keeps all the body parts together. But maybe he should have separated them, so then she couldn't come back to life and couldn't die for the final time.
Yeah. We go out to the woods. Damon is sitting on a rocking chair in an apron, drinking from a flask and whistling. He's next to a hole. There's weapons at the top of the hole. Inside the hole, we can see a chopped up body in garbage bags.
Okay, Dexter.
The bags catch fire. And smoke billows out through the hole, and Damon says, okay, here we go. Raina wakes up. She's naked again. She cracks some joints. She feels the sun. Damon tosses her some clothes and says, oh, here, these are my girlfriends. And given the fact you two look exactly alike, you should be able to fit in them. We already talked about this when he mentioned this. This is such a confounding piece of information about Raina because, again, we have set up in this world that there are people who look exactly like Elena because she's a doppelganger. So this resemblance would not be remarkable to them.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
I think he just misses Elena and he saw brown hair and was like, okay. I mean, you look more like Elena than Crystal.
He said, brunette girl, fix me. Brunette girl, save me.
Save me.
And also he tosses Raina like one of Elena's good Henleys.
And a good denim jacket.
A nice denim like moto jacket. If I'm Elena and I wake up, I'm like, where's my black denim moto jacket?
Where's my black denim moto jacket and my maroon Henley? Those are timeless pieces. So they're certainly still in style in whatever 2060.
Yes, certainly in 60 years, I can still wear them.
Yeah.
Raina says, what's next? It puts the lotion in the basket. This I know is the Silence of the Lambs reference. I've never seen Silence of the Lambs. So I'm like, okay.
I just thought she wanted some lotion. I didn't get the reference.
No, but also, when did this bitch have time to watch Silence of the Lambs? I guess when she was in the psychiatric prison. But do they give her a TV? And if they give someone in a psychiatric prison a TV, do they show them Silence of the Lambs?
It was just on TV. And the orderly didn't check in time.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on, no.
He's like, no, why are you showing this on the channels?
Why is this on cable so much?
Who put HBO on her TV?
And so, again, I don't know the reference, so I'm not going to explain it. Should I Google it?
I mean, doesn't he, like, hold people captive? He probably gives them lotion in a basket at some point.
I'm going to Google with this reference. Okay, so from Silence of the Lambs, serial killer Buffalo Bill. So he has Jodie Foster in a hole kidnapped.
Yes.
And he wants her skin to stay soft, so he lowers lotion down to her in a basket. And he says to her, it puts the lotion in the basket when she's done. So that's like, put the lotion back in the basket, I guess. According to Urban Dictionary, the phrase is used to describe events or objects that are extraordinary in some way, often but not necessarily negative. For example, what do you mean your wife is cheating on you? That puts the lotion in the basket. And another example, I spit in Brenda's coffee. That'll put the lotion in her basket. I'm more confused. I don't know what that means.
I don't think anybody is saying that.
Anyway, Damon says it wouldn't have to if it just stayed dead. Bit of a pickle here, Ray. I got big plans. And Raina says, you buy a timeshare?
Yeah, she's like, I really don't give a fuck.
Damon says, kind of, actually. Timeshare being the coffin.
Yeah.
He says, but I can't go on vacation until I do something about you. I can't relax and sit my ties while you're out hunting my brother. And every time I kill you, you phoenix back to life. It's a deal. Raina says, why don't you just let me kill your brother? Then you can do whatever the hell you want.
She said, that seems like the easier option here, just objectively.
Damon says, that is tempting, but I actually kind of owe him family. Am I right? That's why you and I have to put our heads together and come up with a plan B. And Raina says, you want me to go against my very nature because he's your family? And Damon says, yeah, pretty much.
Damon says, yeah, you got it.
Raina says, funny thing is, family is the very reason this is my nature. My father envisioned a world without vampires. I will not rest until I see his vision through.
All you can do is envision that. There's no completing that goal.
Everyone envisions that. Every hunter does. And yet there are still vampires. So maybe it's time to make a more realistic goal. We go out to the witch greenhouse. Valerie says, so what do you propose we do? Rub each one on your wound and hope for the best?
I propose we look for the herb that looked like the one he hopefully saw while he was in New Orleans.
Yeah. Stefan says, I don't know, you're a witch. Why have you never heard of this? We see someone sneak by. Valerie says, it is strange. Botanically, I'm very well versed. Just say you were in a prison world for 100 years. But she's asking which herb it is, so I guess you're not that botanically well-versed. You just know cream violets, I guess.
Yeah, you know cream violets, wolf's bane, and vervain. Okay, so do I.
She walks by the herbs and says, like, there's wolf's bane, vervain, senna, witch hazel, and this fun little guy. And Stefan says, that one I know. And Valerie says, the witchy hallucinogen, the one borderline recreational herb. So we're meant to believe this is some, like, fictional, witchy LSD.
At first, I was like, are they trying to pretend that's weed? Because that's not a weed plant.
I bet originally the joke was that it was weed, but the network was like, no.
We can't put a weed plant on TV.
They're like, you have to put a plant that is obviously not weed.
Yeah, because it wasn't even close.
Yes, I think it's purposeful that it's not weed.
Yeah.
And then Valerie says, Stefan, I misjudged you. You actually do have fun. Coming from you?
Valerie, I would love for you to name one time you had fun. Quickly.
You didn't even have fun when you were killing Julian.
You didn't even have fun when you were hooking up with Stefan.
Stefan says, I did that herb once. And Valerie says, what was her name? And Stefan says, there has to be a her. And Valerie says, with someone like you, there's always a bad influence. This line just pisses me completely off because she just doesn't fucking get Stefan at all. Stefan doesn't need a bad influence. That is his brain, bitch.
Yeah, his bad influence is his own mind.
And let us not forget when Caroline turned her humanity off, she was fine until, guess what? Mr. Bad Influence walked in. He's the bad influence. The call is coming from inside the house, Valerie. And that is why Valerie is a bad fit for Stefan. And that is why Caroline is a good fit. Because Valerie, like many of these other women, this is true of Catherine too, sees Stefan as like some angel who can do no wrong. And Elena saw him as that, too, which is why it didn't work out. Caroline understands Stefan's shortcomings.
Complexity of human emotion. Yeah.
Yes. So it's just like, fuck you, Valerie. You don't know anything about these people. She just wants to find a way to belittle Caroline.
Well, yeah. And he doesn't need a bad influence. Like, he was a ripper all by himself.
He did that with no influence.
There was no one around him. He actually wanted people to leave him alone.
Yeah. It's like, girl, are you stupid? And she is. Stefan says, well, her name was Rebecca. Let's just say she was a lot to handle.
And I got my hopes up that the shadowy figure was Rebecca. I was like, is Rebecca showing up?
Dare to dream.
I wish.
And you know what? Good for Rebecca. Make him do a drug. That sounds like Rebecca's vibe. Because as we know, in the 20s, they were partying. A little party never
killed nobody. Well, because Rebecca was like, have some fun. Because when he was a ripper, he was having fun in a way, but not like doing drugs. Rebecca was like, let's get some drugs in the mix. Let's loosen you up.
Valerie says, of course she was a lot to handle. And that's why she's not in the picture. See, you prefer small town girls who want to settle down, who are easy to handle.
Not true.
Another line that pisses me all the way off. Aside from Stefan's point he brings up later, number one, this point is super condescending. Because so what if he does want a girl who wants to settle down? Like,
your dream was to settle down with a 17-year-old and a baby. So, like, pot, kettle.
That's the thing. Also, Rebecca did want to settle down. Don't belittle a woman you don't even know. And Stefan's not even belittling Rebecca either. He's just not really getting into it.
Yeah.
But number three, Valerie, when Stefan met you, you were a small town girl who wanted to settle down, who was easy to handle. What exactly do you think you are that makes you so fucking special?
All that aside, Stefan likes his small town.
Yes.
So why would he not want to be with someone who wants to settle in the small town? And Valerie, you're not like a big city girl who's so cool. You lived in one house for 103 years.
And when you got out of the prison world, you didn't go to New York. You didn't go to a big city. You didn't travel the world. The only reason you're traveling at all right now is because Stefan has to run and you, for some reason, have taken it upon yourself to be with him. But that's the thing. It's like, even if Stefan did want a small town girl who wanted to settle down and was easy to handle, whatever. Easy to handle is so condescending. I don't even want to use that as anything.
Yeah. Because
that's not a thing. But even if he did want a small town girl who wanted to settle down, so fucking what? That is not like morally reprehensible, Valerie.
Yeah, as someone who did want to settle down herself. Like, she just thinks she's so much better than Caroline, which, girl, you're not even remotely close.
Well, and she's like pretending she's like this super adventurous person, I think, to make herself seem more like someone he could go on the run with, because it's, she can see it's the only way she's ever going to get Stefan to give her attention.
It's a not like other girls situation.
It's just pathetic.
Because anyone who is pushing this hurt on someone's boyfriend is a not like other girls girl. Because she's like, I'm so much better. That's why you should leave your girlfriend. It's like, how about you respect people's relationships?
I mean, and I understand that she has a complicated relationship with Stefan. And if you want to grow that relationship, that's fine. But you don't have to do it by belittling all of his friends and loved ones and separating him from all of them.
Yeah.
Stefan says, well, I don't think anyone has ever called Caroline easy to handle. Also, you could be a little bit meaner to Valerie, but I also get he's like, I'm not even going to touch this.
I wish he had been a little meaner to her.
I wish he was like, hey.
Like, how dare you fucking say that? That's unnecessary. That's rude to Caroline. Back up.
Like, hey, that's a bitchy comment for no reason.
Yeah.
But Stefan has found now an empty patch of dirt and says, and as thrilling as this therapy session is, I think I found it, or where it used to be. And Valerie says, lovely, a dead end. You drove us here.
What, like, what do you want me to do about it? I didn't plan for it to be a dead end. That's why I came here.
Yeah. And then a mist starts to come down from the ceiling. And Stefan says, what is that? You know what? Rule of thumb. If a mist starts coming down from a ceiling and you're not expecting it to, just vampire run out of the building.
And I get it's a greenhouse, so like in theory it could be normal mist, but this shit is so thick and white. No, that's knocking you out.
Yeah, worst case scenario, it's water and you ran for no reason. Just run.
Yeah.
And then some lady appears. She's got sores all over her body. And she says, night, night. And Valerie and Stefan faint. We go over to the armory. Bonnie is in the lobby and Enzo comes in to meet her and says, oh, you actually came. I'm shocked. And Bonnie says, oh, so did your hand grow back? And Enzo says, no, I had to reattach it. But thank you for your concern. She says, no, less concern, more curiosity.
I'm working on a theory. I want to see if like the hand will crawl its way back to you.
And Enzo says, well, at least you're thinking of me. Because really, he needs that. He says, I take it you receive my messages. And Bonnie says, I did. And I'm not stupid enough to think that your apologies were anything other than a tactic to get me here. But here I am. Fair warning, if you try to disable my magic again, you'll wish I only cut off your hand.
And he says, okay.
He said, heard. I see Damon's obscenity is rubbing off on you. It's quite pathetic, really. You following him around like some high school groupie. And I'll say what I always say to Enzo. Jealousy is a disease, sweetie. Jealousy is a disease.
He's so jealous of Damon and Bonnie, and it's like, they're not hooking up, Enzo. You're good. Like, yeah. You don't have to be calling attention to it like this.
Bonnie says, oh, I forgot you two used to be friends. Now you have none. Enzo's like, he left me in a fire.
Enzo's like, used to be. I thought we were again.
Enzo says, oh, you think you're friends? But before she can answer that, Alex enters and says, Lorenzo. Alex says, you must be Bonnie Bennett. I'm Alex St. John. Welcome to the Armory. I'm sorry for Enzo's behavior yesterday. He wasn't following proper protocol. I asked him to call you back here. Might have gotten off on the wrong foot.
Enzo's like, excuse me?
Alex is really laying it on a little bit thick to make Bonnie feel safe here. And it's kind of working on Bonnie, to be honest.
I mean, she can't really trust Enzo, and she needs to get in here anyway, so whatever works.
Yeah. Bonnie says the wrong foot, or Enzo says not funny, because it was a joke about his hand. Mm-hmm. And Alex says, I don't know, it's kind of funny. Again, kissing Bonnie's ass.
Yeah.
And Alex says, you know, Reyna Cruz is a common enemy. We should be working together to fight her. And Bonnie says, well, but you don't want to fight her. You want her captured. So I think you know a lot more than you're letting on. It makes it hard for me to trust you. And Alex says, yeah, that's fair. Why don't you come with me?
Alex says, fair enough. We are hiding a good amount of information.
And I do think this is a good move for Alex, A, to bring her into the fold. But also, Alex is under the impression that, like, Bonnie's not leaving.
Yeah.
So she's like, who cares what I show her? She's not going anywhere. Enzo's going to keep her captured.
Yeah.
Enzo gestures to the room. They follow somewhere. Alex says, this room contains everything the Armory has gathered on Reyna Cruz. List of victims, her lineage, the spell used to create her, and most importantly, the shamans that gave their lives for her. The 8 Everlastings. So this is the return of the word Everlastings. So the Everlastings are the shamans who sacrificed themselves for Reyna. There's 8 of them. We can see them. Some are preserved, some are decayed.
Mm-hmm. So Reyna herself is not an Everlasting. Correct. As I previously guessed, and I guessed 3, so.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had to say I was wrong in 2 different ways, but I did it.
No, it's good to call it out. I would have said it too. Bonnie says, oh, you mean 2 Everlastings, because the other 6 look pretty lasted. And Alex says, there should be 3 preserved corpses. We lost another one. Did you know about this? Why wasn't I told? And Enzo says, it must have just happened.
So at this point, we know that there are 8 Everlastings. I was doing my math and guessing, so I didn't know there were 8 total. But I said they were probably through, like, 3 lives by the time we get to see it. This confirms it was at about 4. And then we added 2 today from Damon. Because Damon killed her twice. So I was close when I said we had been through 3 lives.
Yeah, you were close.
Just going back to my little math problem that was not too far off, but still incorrect.
Unfortunately, you could have counted the shamans.
I didn't think it fast enough.
I know. Ha ha ha. Alex says, damn it. And she storms out. And Bonnie says, well, I take it from her subtle shift in attitude that that's a bad thing. And Enzo's like, I'm tired of your glibness. Damon's little attitude is rubbing off on Bonnie.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I'm standing.
Enzo's like, I can't deal with 2 of you.
Yeah.
Enzo says, every time Reyna dies, one of the bodies decays. We've lost quite a few this past week, and if we lose all of them, Reyna dies for good.
And Bonnie's like, dope. I did guess that.
You did guess that, and unfortunately you did not guess that there was a catch, and neither did Bonnie. Enzo should be smart enough to mention the catch now, or at the very least, confiscate Bonnie's phone.
Yeah. Nobody needs a phone right now.
Yeah. In the woods, Damon is talking to Reyna, who's in the hole still, and says, so hunting vampires is your identity, your fundamental, this is who I am in a nutshell. He tosses some nutshells at her in the hole and says, you ever wonder if there's a way to change that? And she says, no, I don't, because there's not.
Never thought about it, never will.
Damon says, you know, I used to think that. Look, I'm selfish, narcissistic, prone to unnecessary bouts of violence. And Reyna says, tell me again why I shouldn't be killing you.
She's like, I really don't care what your thing is.
Damon says, because I changed. I mean, temporarily, as it were. It just took the right person. Maybe you haven't found the right person. It's like, is your plan to get her a boyfriend, Damon? Is that your plan? Like, they do this in Clueless.
And who would you even set her up with if you could?
Maybe Matt. But even that.
He's running out of thoughts. I think he's just in his own shit, as usual.
Raina says, I don't need a vampire matchmaker, but thanks. Damon says, I mean, have you ever even tried? Has there ever been a Mr. Hunter? She makes a face. So he says, oh, there has been. But we don't ever hear the story about that. Maybe we'll hear it on the originals. Perhaps. Damon gets a text from Bonnie that says, Raina's lives are limited, only two more left. And Damon says, oh, never mind. I don't have to pretend I give a fuck about you. And then he cocks his gun and shoots her.
He's like, actually, this is way easier than I thought.
We go back to the armory where another one of the Everlastings decays. And Enzo sees that and he turns right to Bonnie, who has her phone out.
Yeah, he turns around and Bonnie's on her phone. He's like, okay, well, I may not be the smartest person on the planet, but I see what happened here.
Enzo says, you've exactly 5 seconds to tell me what's happening or you're not leaving here alive. And Bonnie says, I'm sorry. Did I hurt your feelings by lying about my true intentions for being here? Feels crappy, doesn't it? And Enzo says, what did you do? And Bonnie says, I didn't do anything. Damon, on the other hand, and he says, is an idiot. And Bonnie says, why? Because he's finally taking care of the problem you couldn't. And Enzo says, no, because every time Raina dies, she comes back stronger. And at first, this argument is like, who gives a fuck? She only has one life left.
Well, and also, it's like, who cares? She's in a hole.
Yeah.
Unless she's strong enough to spider crawl up the side of the hole, I think we're good.
But even so, as long as you can see her coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Bonnie says, except for the last one, right? She won't be stronger when she's dead for good. Hey, why do you even want her alive? And Enzo says, I wouldn't worry about that.
And she says, I'm going to.
Enzo says, I'd worry about this. And he takes out the spell and says, like, this is the spell the shamans used to create her. Just read it. Bonnie starts to read. We see a flashback to the spell. The shaman says, you know, great spirit, we call upon you in this moment of need. They live on within you. Bonnie says, the sword, it has linking magic. It creates a bond with Raina and her victims. We knew that. Like, that's well documented. Thanks for the fucking twist, dude.
Yeah, she said, this is a pretty lazy twist, even for season 7.
Yeah, we literally learned this weeks ago. Enzo says, well, that's not all. Shamans didn't want her going to her eternal rest with any unfinished business, so they added an extra addendum. And so Bonnie says, oh, the scars are a failsafe. If Raina dies, so does anyone she's marked.
And I guess this about halfway through him explaining it, so.
Yeah, prove it. Enzo says Stefan has one of those scars, doesn't he? So this makes sense.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
Good spell. Gotta give it to the shamans.
Yeah.
But as far as we know, Stefan's the only person we care about who has this scar.
Yes, because Bo's already dead.
And it's also unclear, I will say, if, like, Bo's soul is in the Phoenix Stone. If Raina dies her last death, do people with scars already in the Phoenix Stone just go to full dead? Or are their souls still in the Phoenix Stone?
Yeah, at first I thought, like, oh, maybe all the souls come out of the Phoenix Stone and just, like, you know, run into people.
That would be a silly goofy. That'd be very Scooby-Doo. The Scooby-Doo movie.
That's what I was thinking.
That'd be funny if that happened.
Be a little too goofy. A little too Freaky Friday.
Yeah, it might be a little too Freaky Friday for the show.
They just put Bo's soul in Damon's body so he shuts up for a bit.
But then Bo could talk.
Oh, yeah, because he's so mute because of his vocal cords, not because of his...
Not because of his soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bonnie calls Damon, and Damon says, you know, I'm not happy about you going against my wishes, but I do suppose that me lecturing anyone on respecting authority... And Bonnie says, where's Raina? And Damon says, in a moderately shallow grave. You know, I got tired of digging, but it should do the trick. And Bonnie says, yeah, you're going to have to dig her up. And Damon says, no way. She'll flame to life underground, suffocate, final life over, Hunter's problem solved. This is a pretty good plan, knowing what he knew at the time.
Yeah, as far as he understands, this makes sense.
Bonnie says, Raina can't die again. And Damon says, pardon me.
He says, why not? Then she's dead.
And Bonnie says, the wounds from her sword, it's linked to her victims. If Raina dies one last time, so does Stefan. We go back over to the witch greenhouse to check on Stefan. He comes too. And Valerie's there. She's been awake for a while already.
Yeah, she's just been staring at him, of course, being weird.
The lady with the sores is there as well. And Stefan says, what did she do to me? And the woman says, apologies. I haven't had visitors in years. And then all of a sudden, two in a matter of days. And Valerie says, I spoke with her while you slept. Somebody beat us to the punch. Came in and took all the herbs. Who do you think took all these herbs?
You know, I feel like since it's a, you know, blocking magic situation, I think it would make sense if it was someone else running from Raina. Maybe the armory.
That's fair. They love to collect things.
Yeah, one thing about them, they're taking stuff.
Stefan says, okay, well, we need more of those herbs. Can you check the back? The lady says, yeah, there's no more. That herb is rare for a reason. It has strong anti-magic and therefore anti-witch properties. Let's just say this isn't from a bad laser peel. She's referring, of course, to her face that is covered in sores.
Yeah, but that's all the information we get on those.
Yeah, and we don't know if the people who took the herbs did that to her to take the herbs before she could hit the mist button. Who knows?
Yeah.
Stefan says, well, there has to be more somewhere. And the lady says, nope, there's not. Witches eradicated it from the world a century ago. This was the only source. I thought witches liked the balance of nature. Now we're just eradicating plants?
Yeah, we're eradicating plants to stop magic. Don't you guys want to stop other people from having control over magic all the time?
Literally. We go over to the grill. Penny watches the security footage of the earlier kerfuffle with Matt Damon and Raina. And Penny says, so there are good vampires and bad vampires. Girl, it's not that confusing. It's the same as people.
And Matt's like, I don't know if I'd say that.
Yeah, Matt says, yeah, kinda, it's complicated. And Penny says, and this, she points at Damon, is a bad vampire, one that killed your sister. And Matt says, yeah, that was a long time ago. And like I said, I'm not helping him. Again, it's complicated. Also, again, Matt's kind of like come to terms with Vicky dying, as sad as it is.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't do anything about it when it happened.
Yeah. Penny says, because you're helping his brother, who's a good vampire. And Matt says, exactly. And Penny says, so this good vampire, does he feed on people too? Does he kill them? And Matt's like, Stefan, I mean, not right now.
He's like, I mean, he tries really hard not to.
I really don't want to explain to you what a ripper is because I just know you're not going to be cool about it.
And also, like, it was like years ago that he was a ripper. So though he was a ripper, it's not like really crucial to our current time. But there's no way to say that without saying I'm okay with people dying.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't feed on people right now. He drinks from blood bags. But like, yeah, he has killed people. And he's like, I just don't really want to get into that. And Penny says it's complicated. She's acting like it's weird that it's complicated. Like, it is complicated, actually.
Everything is complicated. Like, you know, people who commit crimes are not always guilty. Some man walking into the back door of a house maybe doesn't need to be shot right away, Penny.
Yeah.
She's not a gray area girly, it appears.
Yes. She says, the thing is, I've just spent the last few days with you learning about how much you hate vampires and what they did to your town. And Matt says, well, I do. And Penny says, and yet you just helped one of them take down a vampire killing machine. That doesn't sound complicated. And Matt says, Penny, you have no idea what I've been through in this town. And Penny says, you're right. I don't. But I do wonder how much of it you went through because you never took a real stand. At a certain point, it stops being the vampire's fault that the town is like this, and it starts to be yours. Okay, back on my Matt Donovan defender-ish, you can blame a lot of people for a lot of things, but you really can't blame Matt for this, because Matt didn't make this deal with the heretics. Mm-hmm. And then the heretics killed all of Matt's class. There's only so much work he can do by himself. Like, what really could he have done?
Well, like, in a way, like, yes, he should take a stand more because he does complain about vampires without doing things all the time. But like, in this case with the heretics, like, what exactly would you have him do? He can't control that many people.
And even to take a stand about vampires, what do you want him to do personally? Because the thing is, it's true. His life has been irreparably damaged by the inciting incident that was Stefan and Damon moving to town. All of these people's lives have been irreparably damaged, but they've also been changed in positive ways, too. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the only solution for this problem that Matt has is to kill Stefan and Damon. He knows that. To kill Stefan, Damon, Caroline, Tyler, to kill all of his friends.
Yeah.
That's not something he's willing to do, because even though he doesn't want to kill Caroline because he's her friend, that's a thing that he's really against. He's not necessarily against killing Damon or even Stefan. But he knows that killing Stefan and Damon has adverse effects on all of his friends, particularly Elena.
He recognizes that it's more complicated than that. That, like, vampires aren't all bad. Like, but we have to protect some of the town. And really, protecting the town from this evacuation, like, That got away from all of them. Stefan is the one who chose the evacuation and he didn't even want it. So like, Penny, I don't know what you think is possible here.
Yeah, Penny is coming in with very little knowledge and acting like she knows a lot. And it's just, it's a pick your battles thing. And what I'm saying about Matt is he is good at picking his battles.
Yeah.
He's not going to go into a fight that he is going to lose. Because he could go rally a bunch of humans to fight back against vampires and move them all back into Mystic Falls. But that only puts the humans in danger to feel powerful. And so he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Again, I guess now I have to like come out as like a Matt Donovan liker.
Well, just because I hate Penny's ass.
Matt has come a long way in realizing that it is complicated and that you can't just kill every vampire, as they all have.
I do think Matt struggles with it, though, because I think he like understands that. But then every once in a while, he takes a step back and he's like, this is so chaotic. How did I let it get here? Like, there has to be some kind of control that I can take, which he really can't.
Well, and again, I feel that Matt is often the one who has to suffer for the vampire's successes. I mean, like, say what you about Alaric. Stefan and Damon have never done anything to really, like, negatively impact Alaric as a whole. They've always helped Alaric. But the thing is, at the end of the day, Matt's first experience with vampires in this town was them killing his sister.
Yeah. Poor Matt. He tries his best, truly, but there's only so much he can do.
Exactly. We go out to the woods. Damon has a shovel. He goes to the grave he made for Reyna and starts digging, and he's like, okay, please be alive. Then we go over to Dallas. Caroline is still with Rick. She preps the bottles. She says, bottles are a go. Rick says, diapers are a go. Like, go away with them. He hands her dirty diapers.
It's very like, look how chaotic this baby house is.
Caroline gets a call from Stefan. And Stefan says, hey, is this a bad time? And Caroline says, I guess that's relative. I'm not on the run from a supernatural huntress. How are you? Stefan says, well, you know, I've been better. The thing is, it looks like it might actually be a while before I can visit. It turns out those herbs are a little bit more rare than we thought. And Caroline says, that is totally okay. To be honest, there's a chance there was a little bit of contamination going on, so maybe it's not the worst thing. Stefan says, hey, listen, I was thinking. I've been on the run with Valerie the last few days, and without those herbs, I'm not going to be able to slow down. But maybe you could tag in. I know being on the run seems awful, but it could be fun. We could go to Europe, see the world, just you and me. What do you think?
And it's nice of him to ask her of this. He should want to spend time with her. But it is like, it's just...
The timing could not be worse.
He knows that when he's asking it. I think he's just like, it's wishful thinking. And he just gets confirmed that it's wishful thinking.
Yeah, this is the problem. And we see kind of the beginning of Steriline unraveling in this episode that, you know, we then see the effects of 3 years from now. The problem is with both of them is they're not really openly communicating with each other. They're walking around what they want to say. And what Stefan needs to say is like, I need to see you for a few days.
Yeah.
I'll come to Dallas. You know, we have to keep moving, but we need to prioritize being together right now. But of course, he can't say like, leave the babies, bitch.
Yeah, he doesn't want to say that because he doesn't think that's fair. And Caroline, like, I think doesn't want to admit that she wants to stay with the babies.
Yeah.
Even though that's, you know, clear to everyone and she seems to know it right now, but I don't think she's ready to admit it yet.
Neither of them are particularly good at expressing their needs to each other.
And especially over the phone. And they've only been speaking over the phone for like at least a week. So it's just unfortunately really bad timing to be watching babies and to be on the run at the same time.
Yeah. She says, Stefan, and he says, I just want to see you. And she says, I want to see you too, but it's kind of a war zone over here. And Alaric really, and Stefan says, he needs you. Yeah, I get it.
He was ready to be a single dad.
I hate to be totally insensitive to babies. Alaric doesn't need her.
Well, and Alaric, frankly, not that this is Alaric's job to care about their relationship, but he should be able to say like, hey, Caroline, like, do you need to go see Stefan on the run? Like, why don't you leave for a week? Like, tell her to leave and go, that he'll be fine. Because he was ready to raise these babies on his own. So let's see you pull it out, buddy.
He's got a nanny getting hired. And Stefan also needs her too, but he's afraid to say that. So rather than like say like, I don't know if this is going to work out, he says, well, we'll figure it out once this Huntress thing is over, because he has hopes that Damon will fix it today.
Yeah.
And Caroline says, yes, we will. And she's clearly trying to soft launch this, which I think this is the wrong time to start this conversation. You know, I'm a Caroline stan, but she handles this just as badly as Stefan does. She says, what are your feelings about Dallas?
I think it's a fair question to bring up because I think she's realizing she wants to stay with the babies. And I think at this point, it's kind of like, if you were to visit here, how would you feel? And like, you know, what does that look like in the future? I do think it's probably an in-person conversation, but I think it's eating at her.
I don't think it needs to be an in-person conversation necessarily. I think today and this conversation is a bad time because he just said, I need to be on the run. It's not fair to ask him what he thinks about Dallas right now, because what he knows is that she's staying in Dallas for a day. He doesn't know she wants to stay. So she springs this on him and he told her he has to be on the run. And so then what this communicates to him is like, you have to choose between being on the run and being in Dallas, which I think it's unfair that he makes that leap. But I just think this is like the total worst time to ask this.
I think Caroline's in a place where she really has to think about her future and what these babies mean, what this means for Stefan. So I think in her mind, she's like, okay, well, the Huntress thing will be over soon. Let's think about the future. And Stefan is just not, it's not the time to think about the future for him.
I don't want to belittle Caroline's, you know, personal journey she's going through, but Stefan's going through something much more high stakes and much harder.
Yes and no.
No. He is going through being constantly on the run with the threat of dying. She's going through, do I want to live in Dallas or not?
Well, she's going through.
Yes, and like a motherhood thing. I get that, but she's not going to get killed no matter what decision she makes here. Stefan will. His decision is more high stakes.
I think how you rank stakes is hard because I think, you know, I recognize that Caroline is not under threat of death, but I'm not seeing this decision as like making that final choice of where to move or where to stay. I think it's just she's facing like a major upheaval in her life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think there's a part of this that her mom just passed away. Now she has babies. I think there's like a lot of emotional things going on here. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, she needs to kind of think about how she opens this conversation with Stefan. And again, this is a miscommunication thing because she's not being vulnerable with him and she's not being honest. She's not saying like, I really want to stay here with the babies. Would you consider Dallas? She says, what do you think about Dallas? These two don't communicate well. Stefan reads into shit. Like, this conversation needs to be had in an open and honest way. And she's not being open and honest about what she wants because I don't think she knows.
I think what you want her to say is what this comment implies, though, which it's not fair because she should say it directly. And I think it's also just an unfortunate situation. Stefan really needs someone right now. And Caroline, frankly, has him on the back burner a little bit, which I don't think is like a misjudgment on her part. I think there's a lot going on. But then also Damon kind of has Stefan on the back burner. And so he's just kind of all alone right now.
Yeah, no one's prioritizing Stefan.
I don't think that's clear to anyone because I think he's purposely hiding that and purposely like, I just have to be on the run until this is over because he's trying to convince himself it's all going to be fine.
Exactly. I think she spends a lot of this conversation. And again, I'm a Caroline stan. I think she spends a lot of this conversation trying to work through her own shit when he needs more comfort than she does right now.
I don't think that's fair to put that on her. I mean, I do think he probably needs more comfort, but I think she, how could she possibly see that at this current point in her in life?
Well, she knows he's on the run from a hunter.
Yeah, but every time he's on the phone, he's like, it's going to be fine. We're going to figure it out. Like, and she can't really help him with that because the only thing to say to him right now is like, yeah, keep moving.
But she's doing the same thing where she's like, oh, it'll be fine. We'll figure out where to live eventually. Like, neither of them are asking for what they really want. And it's causing the issues here. It's a two-way street.
I think she thinks the future and talking about the future is more optimistic. And he does not read it as optimistic right now because he's overwhelmed.
Because he thinks he's about to die. So it makes him sad.
Yeah, it makes him sad. But I think she's trying to use it as a vehicle for optimism. And unfortunately, that's not how Stefan is seeing it right now.
Sure. I think that Caroline, one of her character traits is that she's optimistic. But I do think she needs to get a little bit real here. I think like she knows he's being chased by a hunter. I think she thinks she can just like hang out in Dallas for a while and decide if she wants to be a mother and kind of figure it all out. And I don't think that's fair. I mean, I think like she's going through her own thing. Absolutely.
See, I think it is fair that she's doing that. And I don't think it's like fair for Stefan that he has to run, but unfortunately, like him having to run gives her exclusive space to think about staying in Dallas because he's not around to remind her of what, you know, other things are in her life. And that's not like his fault, but I think it's very fair for her to be thinking this way.
Well, I think it's fair for her to think this. I think this is not something she should spring on him right now.
I think she's doing it as a way of like, what might the future hold? How can we be happy about what's to come? And that's not the space he's in.
Well, he tried to do that too. And he was like, why don't we go to Europe and see the world? Because again, as far as she's communicated to him, she's not interested in staying with the babies.
But also like, she said like, Alaric needs me right now. I can't go to Europe. How do you feel about a different future? But that's a future after the hunting is done.
Yes, that's the thing. She's not bringing it up as something for right now. And right now he needs comfort. He says, oh, Dallas, you know, I hadn't really thought about it. And she says, well, you know, it's not a terrible place to live. And, you know, the babies are here. And then Rick says, I need backup and more diapers. And Caroline says, I'm sorry, Stefan, I got to run. Now she should stay on the phone with him and maybe continue this conversation because clearly it's going bad. But
well, Alaric should be able to handle diapers on his own. So
yeah, she can be like, you got it. And so Stefan says, yeah, I get it. And she almost hangs up, but then she remembers to say, I love you. And Stefan says, yeah, I love you too. And hangs up. Valerie says, she's staying, isn't she? Stefan says, looks like it. Fuck you, bitch. Valerie, this is not your fucking business.
Yeah. Eavesdrop on the phone call and keep it to yourself.
Yeah, you know what happened on the phone call. Valerie says, we'll figure something out. Well, I'm sure you will. I'm sure this is exactly what you wanted. And then Stefan's scar starts hurting. And he says, what's wrong with me? What's happening? We go back and forth between the woods and the witch greenhouse. Damon finds Reyna. She doesn't look great. Stefan like falls to the ground and says like, oh, my chest. And he like shows the scar, which is getting red and like vessels are expanding around it.
Mm-hmm.
Damon tries to feed Reyna vampire blood, but magic doesn't have effect on her. So it doesn't work. So he starts doing CPR. And then Valerie finally tries something that she should have tried weeks ago, which is siphoning Stefan's scar.
Yeah.
We find out that it didn't work, but at least we know.
Yeah, she can't siphon the scar for whatever reason. It's like, okay, great. Thank you for that answer.
Damon does more CPR and Reyna gasps awake. Stefan also gasps awake. Valerie is relieved. She touches his face and his chest a little bit too much. Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, it's like, okay, he's fine. Back up.
We go out to the woods and Damon says, thank God. And then Reyna grabs Damon by the throat and throws him.
Fair enough. The guy did just kill her like 3 times, so.
Yeah. Damon says, uh-oh. And Reyna says, uh-oh, is right. We go back to the armory. Bonnie is pulling out a bunch of books and Enzo says, hey, what are you doing? And Bonnie says, well, you said she gets stronger every time she comes back to life. Damon can't kill her. He's walking into a fight he can't win. And Enzo says, the armory is on their way to Mystic Falls. They'll be there soon. This is another Whitmore situation. We have no idea where in relation to Mystic Falls the armory is. And it will vary. Bonnie says, you know, not soon enough. She's connected to an everlasting. Maybe I can weaken it and her. And Enzo says, yeah, and maybe that will kill her and Stefan too. And Bonnie says, well, if I do nothing, she'll kill Damon. And Enzo says, you're willing to kill for him. Do you really think he cares that much about you? And Bonnie says, yeah, I do. And Enzo says, you have no idea what he's planning, do you?
Because Enzo's like, that guy is clearly about to kill himself.
Yeah,
I know the vibes. I know the energy that comes with that.
We go to the woods. And Damon says, hey, you want to talk about Mr. Huntress now? Turns out I'm very interested at this particular moment because he's trying to stall.
Yeah.
And Reyna says, well, he was a vampire. And Damon says, what do you know? Vampire human affairs are my specialty.
He's like, okay, I can work with that. So he got under your skin, hopefully.
Yeah. Reyna says, well, they were mine too. They don't work out in the long run, considering I staked him. Go ahead and run. I don't mind chasing a second Salvatore. And Damon says, maybe I could get like a I just saved your life head start. And Reyna says, well, you better take it. And then Damon says, on second thought, and he runs to attack her. She hits him with a shovel, says, you know, don't say I never offered you anything. He dodges her, gets up, and he says, if I could kill you, this would be a much fairer fight. And Reyna says, your brother's dead no matter what. All you've done by saving my life is gotten yourself killed. She breaks the shovel to make a stake, and she says, don't worry, I don't miss. And then she gets shot in the neck with something. And then she gets a bunch of shots in the back. And then she turns around and gets a bunch of shots in the front. We can see it's people in the black. They're clearly from the armory. You guys got her.
Like, I understand she's not going down immediately, but give the drugs a second to get into the bloodstream. You didn't need to hit her like 20 times.
Can you imagine if those drugs killed her?
Or like if she fell on the ground and
just snapped her neck.
The vials like went in too deep and got her.
Yeah.
Caused like internal bleeding.
Damon says, yeah, apparently they also don't miss. At the armory, Enzo is staring at the last everlasting, who is not decaying, so good news.
Mm-hmm.
Alex comes in. She's just getting off a phone call. And so she says, Reyna is officially in captivity. Hey, where's the Bennett witch? So now we know that Alex knows that Bonnie is a Bennett witch, not just a friend of Enzo's. Calling her a Bennett witch here is like, oh.
It's like, oh, you know something about that bloodline.
Yeah. And Enzo says, yeah, she's learning how little her friend cares about her. And Alex says, hey, I didn't tell you to let her go.
Alex says, why is this about you all of a sudden?
She's like, oh my God, my family is the worst. I can't find any good help these days. Enzo says, I thought we needed her help with Reyna. And Alex says, yeah, Reyna was the first priority. Bonnie Bennett is a close second. Why do you think that is?
I could say the easy witch power, but I think there must be some kind of spell that like Bonnie or Bennett blood links. I mean, we know that happens all the time. And it wouldn't be crazy if like Sheila were aware of this group at some time or another. I mean, we know she was teaching at Whitmore. We know she was like aware of occult studies, supernatural stuff in the area. So it wouldn't be crazy if she was in contact with them in some way. And it may be, you know, there's some protection they can get or some magic they can undo by undoing a Bennett spell.
So do you think there's a Bennett spell they want undone? And if so, what is that spell?
There's a possibility that there's something to do with Bennett blood with the Everlasting since they're so focused on them. We don't have any evidence of that being true. We know Bonnie's family at one point was in Salem, but we also, you know, with the connection to the Gemini Coven, maybe there's something they can like undo the heretics and make them like just siphons, or there's all sorts of things Bennett blood has been involved in. Maybe there is like in building a prison world, there's some other like world or like incarceration type thing that they want Bennett blood for.
Sure. I guess we'll see. We go to the Salvador house. Damon is looking at some bottles of bourbon and Stefan returns. You know, he gets home too. Yay, they're back at their house. And he says, looking for a bottle to celebrate? I gotta say, I'm impressed. I got your text. I didn't think you'd be able to kill her. And Damon says, well, my exact message read, she's taken care of. And Stefan says, yeah, she's taken care of.
Yeah, Damon's like, I do want to clarify, she's not dead, but she's as close as I can get her.
Good to lead with this. Stefan says, what, so you didn't kill her? And Damon says, well, I did, actually, a number of times. Turns out she only has 8 lives, but the last one is the problem, because if she dies for good, everyone with that scar on your chest dies as well. And Stefan says, so we can't kill her. And Damon says, no. But the good news is the armory has her and they're not going to let her escape. And Stefan says, except for that time that they did let her escape a week ago.
Stefan's like, didn't they literally just let her escape?
Also, it's unclear if like she lives out this last life and then she dies of natural causes. Will Stefan still die with the scar? They don't address that. Damon says, look, I know it's not ideal, but it's all we got. And Stefan says, Caroline's staying in Dallas with Rick and the kids. Number one, Stefan, that's not official. You need to talk to your girlfriend about that before you let it defeat you.
Yeah, and tell her if that's not what you want.
But I can understand how Stefan feels very hopeless in this moment.
Oh, yeah. It's not looking great for him.
So he's like, great. Reyna can't die. Caroline's leaving me.
Hope no one else leaves me in the next 10 minutes.
Literally. And then Damon says, sorry to hear that, brother. But I saw that coming. Can you keep that to yourself?
I mean, like, we all saw it coming, Damon, but it's really not the time. Even if Stefan saw it coming, he was hoping that wasn't the case.
Yeah, by the way, Stefan saw it coming, too.
He was just in denial.
And so Stefan says, you don't get it, do you? As long as I have the scar, Reyna will hunt me. This isn't about just you and me anymore. There's kids involved. I'm not going to put them in danger, which means I can't be with my girlfriend as long as Reyna is alive. This is very big of him to be like, if there's even a chance that Reyna could kill me, which again, even though she's in the armory, he's like, obviously she can escape. As long as she's alive, it will be a danger. I don't want to be near the kids because then she could kill the kids. Here's the thing. If Reyna showed up in Dallas, she'd kill Stefan and Caroline. She wouldn't touch the kids. They're not vampires.
Yeah. And also, like, your scar would open up. You'd have time to get moving. Now, it wouldn't be ideal. And also, you know, Stefan's not saying this, but I don't think he wants to live in a house with Caroline Alaric and their kids. I don't think that's the main reason he wouldn't want to go, obviously. He would obviously still want to be there if he could, but like, that's a weird situation.
Well, there's logistics they have to figure out because, again, they're vampires. They could compel the next door house. Stefan and Caroline can pick where she sleeps each night. Like,
yeah.
But he hasn't even bothered thinking about the logistics because Stefan is, at the end of the day, a little bit defeatist when he gets upset.
Yeah. And he's not helped today.
And he doesn't want to be beefing with babies, but he is like, I can't believe she picked babies over me.
Yeah.
But he also understands that babies are important because he, you know, has dealt with his own thing with the sons.
Well, that's like, he kind of wants a baby, but he doesn't like want a baby that is like not his.
Yeah.
Because he would always know those babies aren't his, but he would like want to be their father figure in some way. So I think he doesn't want to face that either.
He hasn't even really started to reckon with that.
Yeah. I think this is all subconscious, but I think there's a lot of complications. As you know, he doesn't want to go to Dallas because he's on the run, but I think there's a number of reasons why that would be a rough decision anyway.
Going to Dallas scares him anyway because and he's not saying this, he would have to be away from his brother.
Yeah.
He'd have to be away from their home. He wants to be in Mystic Falls.
Yeah.
Again, he's just starting to spiral with all of this now that Dallas feels like a real possibility.
Yeah.
Because Caroline dropped this today when it's really like literally the worst day she could have done it. And she doesn't know that Damon's about to abandon his brother, so I can't hold that against her.
It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate. Stefan says, you just told me Raina can never die, so we need to figure out another way to get rid of her. Or we need to get rid of this scar. And Damon says, that's a good plan. Anyway, I'm going to leave now.
I am going to baby defend Damon on this because I think truly in his heart of hearts, he thinks he's doing the right thing until Bonnie says some shit that proves that wrong. But I do think it's like, Damon, you are technically the reason Stefan has this scar. At least try to get the scar removed before we do this.
Well, yeah, I think it's the same thing as like, we'll remember that like when at the end of season 3, Stefan and Damon were like, whoever Elena chooses, the other one's going to leave town.
Yeah.
And so Elena chose Stefan and Damon's like, okay, well, I'm going to leave town now. But then things kept coming up that he needed to help with. And so eventually he just decided to stay.
Yeah.
Like, normalize changing your plans if they're not working anymore. Because Damon, I do believe he truly thinks like he needs to do this to give everyone a better life. But I do think he should be like, yeah, I should take care of this scar thing first.
Yeah.
Because the rest of his arguments don't work if the scar is still there, but we'll get into those. Mm-hmm. So Damon picks up some envelopes and says, this is for you.
Because he can't even say it.
Stefan says, what is this? And Damon says, we both know these last few months have been impossible for me.
Stefan says, me too, girl.
He said, every month, King. Damon says, I've been walking a tightrope and falling off constantly. I'm not a good brother when I'm not with Elena. And when I'm not a good brother, people get hurt. And Stefan says, oh, so you're just going to run away. And Damon says, no, I'm going to stay in one place, desiccated right next to her.
No, even worse, you won't be able to call me.
Yeah, I'm actually going to do worse than run away. And Stefan says, hey, I saved your life time and time again. I chose you. I sacrificed everyone and everything for you. You're just going to turn your back on me now. This is a particularly fresh wound because Stefan has often chose Damon over everyone else. But it's been particular lately that, well, remember, Caroline was giving birth. He wanted to be with Caroline. Everyone kicked him out of that room to protect Damon. And he has the scar, and now he's on the run. And Damon won't even fucking help him get rid of the scar?
Yeah. I think Damon thinks this is an unselfish choice by taking himself out of the equation. And I get that thought process. And I get he doesn't know, like, just how much Stefan has been going through. Like, Stefan has really been getting his ass beat left and right. But I do think, like, this reaction, it's clear Stefan reads this decision as selfish.
I do believe that Damon believes it is a selfless decision, but it is not a selfless decision.
Yeah.
Objectively. Because he's not leaving because he doesn't want to hurt people. Because he's hurt people and they've forgiven him. They don't actually care if he hurts them because they understand that's the cost of having deep, meaningful relationships with people, is sometimes they hurt you. Mm-hmm. He's leaving because he doesn't want to feel complex feelings. He doesn't want to feel guilty. It is a selfish decision. He has convinced himself it's selfless, but it's not.
Yeah, it is a selfish decision. And he, I think, is ignoring that Stefan is so hurt by this because Stefan is like, you can't leave me.
Mm-hmm. I would never leave you.
Because Damon's like, I'm leaving Stefan so he doesn't have to protect the world for me, so he doesn't have to do this. When really, Stefan has been protecting you, caring for you. Like, he could have left you alone many, many times, and he doesn't. So you shouldn't leave him.
Stefan told you that his hell was choosing between letting you die and saving you, and that he realized that he had to abandon you to survive, and that was his hell.
Yeah.
Was being apart. And you say, I'm going to abandon him.
And Damon said, okay, his hell is saving me. He didn't even listen to the last part.
Yeah.
And it's like, Damon, keep those ears open, buddy.
And then Damon says, we're vampires. It's temporary, Stefan. Except for the fact that if he still has the scar and Reyna escapes, it's not temporary. Because she'll kill Stefan and you won't even know.
Yeah, because it's one thing if, you know, you had cleared out this issue and then it's like, look, I need to desiccate for a bit. Because don't get me wrong, Damon could be put down for a bit. But you haven't protected Stefan, so there's a very good chance that if you wake up when Elena wakes up, Stefan would be dead. Like, you have not protected him enough to feel confident that he will still be alive, I think. Because even if, you know, and I think we won't get to the natural causes issue because I think we'll somehow get this scar off of him. I'll say that. But even if she doesn't escape, it's still not clear, like, if she dies of natural causes, will he die? And that could be in 60 years before you wake up with Elena.
Yeah. Or who knows what the armory will do.
Yeah.
And so Damon says, I'll see you again. And he starts to leave. And Stefan says, hey, listen, if there's even a fraction of you that cares about me, your brother, your family, then you will not walk out that door. Damon says, save a bottle of bourbon for me, brother. We're going to need to sort this all out in about 60 years. And he leaves. Hello?
Well, and I think Damon is like, I'm doing this because I care about him, but he just doesn't get it.
Yeah.
So I just will go and he'll get it eventually. He'll understand. Damon, that is why you think you're doing it. And I understand that impulse, but that is not actually what's happening. That's it. At the minimum, that's not how he's reading it.
Yeah. But he's already made his mind up. So we go a little bit later. Stefan is sitting by the fire in his house drinking. And then Matt comes in and Stefan's like, this really isn't the best time, Matt.
Poor Matt. He finally decides to stand up for himself. And this could not be, well, poor Stefan, really.
Yeah.
Because this could not be a worse time. Like, Stefan literally has, like, nothing left. And now he's like, give me your home too, bitch.
And he finally got his house back.
Yeah.
Matt says this won't take long. And Stefan says, look, I don't want to have to kick you out of here, but I will. And Matt says, yeah, I know you will. And there's nothing I can do to stop you because you're a vampire and I'm a human.
Stefan's like, also because it's my house. Yeah.
Matt says, I've been thinking a lot about that lately, about my place in this town, my home. You know, whenever vampires are here, humans will always be at their mercy. Whatever laws we pass, you can break. Whatever lives we build, you can destroy. We don't stand a chance against you. That stops today. Conveniently forgetting the many years that the sheriff and Damon were biffles and everybody was chill.
People were generally not dying in massive amounts. Like, don't get me wrong, there were some hiccups along the way. But for the most part, people were living in harmony.
For the most part, like the normal average town person, their life wasn't affected.
Yeah.
Again, Matt has a very different experience because his life has been irreparably affected and his sister killed. So I get it.
Yeah.
Stefan says, excuse me. And Matt says, vampires need to leave Mystic Falls, all of you. Which is just like, it's funny because he's like making this stand. But really the only vampire left is Stefan because Caroline's already planning to move to Dallas. Damon is going to a coffin.
Yeah.
Stefan's like, can't we have one? Stefan says, I appreciate whatever moral crisis you're going through right now, but this is my home. I'm not going anywhere. And Matt says, this is footage from the grill today of Damon doing some very not human things to Reyna. All the love in the world. It's a vampire run and a heart pull out. Like, it's certainly not human, but it could be doctored and it could be fake.
Well, yeah, I'd just be like, it's obviously fake. Who would be able to pull someone's heart out like that?
Yeah. Matt says, I've got footage of you too. Hundreds of hours from the town surveillance system. You know, I don't want to show it to anyone or expose you. This is just so funny. Who are you going to send this video to that will believe it to be legit?
And do something about it. Because what would happen, let me tell you this, Matt, people are going to see it and be like, wow, this is some really cool video editing. Let's get those ghost buses back up to Mystic Falls. Didn't you hate those bitches?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. So, I mean, if I'm Stefan, number one, I'm breaking that flash drive he has. Matt probably ingests Vervain if he's smart. So I'd lock Matt up a couple days, get the Vervain out of his system, compel him to destroy all video evidence. Penny is probably going to come looking for him. Penny probably doesn't have Vervain yet, so I'll compel her. But even if we get to the point where he gets these tapes released, I'll go compel everybody that the tapes are fake. I mean, this isn't a real threat.
Well, yeah, just be like, yeah, I am friends with Matt. I've been friends with Matt for years. He gave me video and I like edited it to be funny.
Yeah, this was a prank. Remember, we're like 19.
Do you think like he's going to be able to find like some forensic video expert to break this down? No.
At best, this will get played on like Ghostbusters. Not Ghostbusters, Ghost Hunters. Some TLC show. Anyway, Stefan says, you threatening me? And Matt says, yeah, I am. And I hate that. I hate that I have to threaten my friend because he's a vampire. You don't have to.
I hate that I have to do this. And it's like, who is making you?
No one's making you.
One girl. It's not even Elena.
He says, I hate that I'm friends with vampires at all. This isn't about me or you. Well, you're making it about exactly you two, actually.
It's about me if you're forcing me to leave my house.
Yeah, and then he says, this is about our home. You said our.
If we really want to get into it, like, Stefan was there first.
Yeah. Matt says, which has been destroyed time and time again. This is the only way to break that cycle. Again, I see the logic here, but it's bad. It's stupid, and it's not going to fix anything.
I get why he's doing this, but be serious.
He feels out of control in his life, so this is an attempt to gain back control.
The best way to turn the town back to normal, do clear out Julian's vampires. I agree with you on that. They are vermin.
And then bring the humans back.
Yeah, then lift the evacuation and bring the humans back and just say to Stefan, like, we can't be acting like this. If it's just you, I feel I can trust you.
Yeah. Matt says, you have until the end of the day. Well, it's already nighttime. You're setting him up for loss.
Stefan's like, can I just drink my bourbon before I have to go on the run again? Like, I'm exhausted.
Matt says, Damon too. Well, that's moot.
He said, Damon too. I'm not going to go threaten him to his face because he will beat my ass.
Yeah. And Matt goes, we go over to Brooklyn, New York, check on Damon. He opens a storage container and he finds his and hers coffins. Elena is already in hers.
So the armory set up a coffin for him. That's pretty nice.
We go to Dallas, Texas. Stefan is parked outside Caroline and Rick's house. We can see he put Damon's envelope on the counter, Stefan did, which begs the question, how'd this get into the house? Do you have the deed signed over to Caroline's name?
Well, Caroline compelled the house, so we have to assume it's under her name. If I were Alaric, I'd be like, hey, I don't think there are a ton of vampires in Dallas because I meant to move away, but let's take advantage of the invited in situation.
Can't hurt us. Rick opens the envelope and Damon reads in voiceover and says, hey, buddy, I know this is a crappy way to do this, but hey, I'm a crappy person, so I guess it fits. While we read this letter, we can see Damon looking at the coffin in Brooklyn and Alaric reading the letter. Damon says, by the time you read this, I'll be desiccated in a coffin next to Elena. I won't wake up till she does, so I guess this might be my official goodbye. I'm not going to get lame or mushy, but you deserve the truth. I'm telling Stefan that the world is a better place without an Elena-less Damon, that it was best for everyone that I'm gone. I'm sure he'll see through that, because to be honest, I don't give a damn about the world. We can see outside the house in Dallas, Stefan gets out of the car and starts to walk toward the house. Damon reads, you know, the truth is I'm not in a good spot. Hell, I'm miserable, and I have been ever since she left me. Before her, I didn't know what it was like to be happy. In Dallas, we see Caroline come into the kitchen with the two babies sleeping, and the two of them look very happy with their babies. And Damon reads, you know, to be fulfilled, to be complete. But now I do. And now that I know that feeling, to live without it, there's no point. Stefan watches Caroline and Rick from the window. He looks sad. He turns away and touches his chest. And he texts Valerie, like, let's keep moving. So clearly what happened here, and again, this is just a lack of communication on everyone's part, is Stefan looked inside and said, like, oh my God, look how happy she looks. I don't want to take that away from her by being here.
By, as her boyfriend, saying hi.
Yes, and you can see that his decision is like, it's better if I just leave and cut the cord. It's a bad move. I'm not going to say this is a good move.
It's very Damon of him. He's doing the same thing Damon is doing, unfortunately.
Yes, it's bad. He should at least like talk to Caroline about this, go inside, especially now while it's like as safe as it's going to be. But I see that he's, A, I think Damon leaving has done some damage to his psyche. But I also think a lot of the way Valerie was talking to him today got under his skin.
Yeah.
That bitch.
I do think this is like a bad decision, obviously, but I'm not going to like dog on Stefan for this because I just think he's hurt. He's been through it. He's trying to let them be a family. And should he talk to her? Yeah, but he's been through enough today. Frankly, like, I'm not mad at him.
And we don't know what happens between this and the time jump. If either of them try to reach out to each other and either ignores, we'll see. That'll give us more insight to decide what we think about this time jump. But right now it's like, Stefan, don't do that. Don't leave. We go back to Brooklyn. Damon touches Elena's coffin and he reads the end of the letter to Rick that says, so that's it. Nice knowing you.
Well, and this letter also does highlight, like, he knows this is selfish deep down.
Yes.
He's convincing himself and justifying it.
Yeah. Bonnie comes to the door of the storage unit and says, you weren't even going to say goodbye. Enzo told me you asked him for Elena's coffin. Told me what you were planning. I didn't believe him. I thought if Damon desiccates until Elena wakes up, I'll never see him again. He'd never do that. And yeah, this is way more fucked. I mean, it's fucked up to Stefan too, of course, but it's so fucked up to Bonnie to be like, I really never want to talk to you again and to not even say goodbye.
Yeah, this is your best friend.
Damon says, well, I wrote you a letter and I gave it to Stefan. And Bonnie says, are we friends? And Damon kind of tries to laugh it off and says, of course, Bonnie, you know, we don't actively try and kill each other anymore. Bonnie says, no, I'm not doing that. No insults, no jokes. Are we friends?
She said, it's not fucking funny.
He doesn't answer. And she says, I know why you wanted to do this in a letter. So you could desiccate in peace, imagining whatever reaction you wanted. Me reading it and thinking, huh, I'm really going to miss him. Well, too bad, because that's not my reaction. This is. I'm not okay with this decision. I'm not okay with you choosing yourself. And I'm not okay with never seeing you, my best friend, ever again. This hurts me. And as you desiccate and feel the pangs of hunger as the blood drains from your body, that's what I want you to remember. That you hurt me. Kat Graham acting down.
Mm-hmm. And she gagged him. And this really should be enough for Damon to be like, yeah, this is getting so selfish that I actually think it's fucked up now.
Yeah, he should be like, you know what? I thought I was making a decision that was good for everyone, but after talking to you and Stefan, I agree. This is not the right decision.
Like, I was justifying this as selfless. I mean, I knew you guys were going to see through it, but I didn't realize like how badly you would. So I think I need to reevaluate this, but no.
And he says, hey, Bonnie, listen to me. And she says, no, you don't get to say goodbye. And she goes. And Damon goes to the door and he like looks out. You can tell he's kind of pondering how this day went. But he closes the storage container door and he gets in the coffin. He takes one last look at Elena's coffin, doesn't peek at her face because they didn't pay any of them to be here.
Yeah, which is funny because you would think you would want to check on her because, you know, he already burned one empty coffin. Let's double check she's in this one.
Yeah. He closes himself in. And we can see the desiccation start to happen. Me, I could never desiccate like this. I get so fucking bored in this coffin after like one night of sleep. I couldn't do it.
I'd be out. I'm sorry. Like, I don't care if I'm a burden in my brother or sister's life. Like, I'm bored in the coffin.
I gotta watch TV.
There's no TV in here. I can't desiccate. Because what if like my hands are desiccated, but my face isn't and I gotta change the channel?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. Sorry. I'd rather be a burden in my friends and family's life.
Yeah, sorry. Call me selfish. We get a master cut of all of the flash forwards we've seen thus far in this season. Stefan waking Damon up. Damon says why. Raina shoots arrows in the coffin. Damon says she's back. Stefan says the scar opened up. Damon says Raina's not going to stop till you're dead. Even though in the first flashback, he said she's not going to stop till you're dead. But we know her name now. Then we cut to Stefan burning his car and telling Tyler to warn Caroline. And then we cut to the station where Caroline's like, I never want to hear the name Stefan Salvatore again. We cut to Bonnie in group therapy saying how one stupid decision can turn your life into something you don't recognize. We cut to Damon at Rick's house. Damon says, when's the last time you talked to your fiance? Stefan's being hunted. Caroline will be bait. We cut to Caroline's hostage video. We cut to Stefan kissing Valerie. Boo!
Boo!
We cut to Damon and Rick driving to the station. We cut to Damon getting poisoned with werewolf toxin. We cut to Matt's involvement. And then we go to the news station with 3 years in the future now that we've reviewed all that's happened. Mm-hmm. Now Stefan is tied up at the news desk like Damon was earlier. And the Phoenix sword is on the news desk between them. We know that Matt had it last, so Matt must have given it back to Raina. Raina says, I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted. I feel like there should be champagne or something. Kill him first, then you can have champagne.
Well, just drink champagne. He's tied up. What is he going to do?
Yeah, go get champagne. Stefan says, yeah, you finally got me. Here I am. Raina says, I'm not totally taking credit, by the way. You came to me. You were safe. In the wind, you played it smart, and then you got dumb on me. What happened? I mean, we know what happened. I took someone you love. Damon and Caroline. So I guess that makes two people. Just out of curiosity, which one brought you here? Her or him? Well, it was obviously her because he didn't even know Damon was there.
Yeah.
And she says, fine, keep your secrets. You'll need something to keep you company in hell. Or there is a plan B, but I know how you feel about making choices. What kind of dig is that?
Who told her about that?
Stefan says, plan B. And Raina says, yes, because believe it or not, I don't actually want to kill you, Stefan. And Stefan says, that doesn't make any sense. You took the words right out of my mouth, Stefan. It doesn't make any sense why she wouldn't want to kill him. But then she says, take my word for it. I know you don't deserve that, Mark. All the love in the world to Stefan. You know I'll defend him to the ends of the earth. He does. Like, it's a ripper. Like, it's not just never done anything bad.
And if it's between Damon and Stefan, like, her intent was to give it to Damon. And, like, he did earn it in that time. But, like, we've all done things.
Well, yeah, if we're looking at Stefan and Damon's life and, like, who deserves to be in hell more, I think you could make a convincing argument either way.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think it would be easier to argue Stefan.
Just body count alone.
Yes.
But Raina doesn't know about that.
Yeah, and I mean, why would anyone say that to her? Raina says, you know, somebody else does deserve this mark. What if I were to tell you there's a way to transfer it to somebody more deserving? It should have been Damon all along. You know this as well as I do. I wouldn't say I know that. Stefan says, you want to pit us against each other? Nice try. Like, many have tried to do that. Won't happen. Damon approaches and says, except it wasn't her idea. It was mine.
It's like, well, this is kind of a classic Damon idea, so that's not surprising.
Yeah, I wouldn't brag about this being your idea.
Stefan's like, great, so now I have to, like, choose to save my brother again. Awesome. Thanks for putting me in this position once again.
Yeah, great. So that's the end of the episode. So here's my suggestion. I thought of this idea, but I actually don't know if it would work.
I have a suggestion as well. We'll see if they're the same.
I have two plans. My first plan is, let Raina stab Stefan with the sword, kill her, and then get him out of the Phoenix Stone. But I don't know if she dies, what happens to the Phoenix Stone people, or if, like, him having a scar, even though he's in the Phoenix Stone, would mean, like, now you can't reunite his soul.
Uh-huh. That's a good suggestion. I think could work. I mean, I would want to research the Phoenix Stone.
It's a little too uncertain that I would not really be comfortable trying it, but that's what I would suggest.
Yeah. So mine is dumber. I'm thinking about the transfer of the scar. Like, is it a direct, like, one-to-one, or is it, like, we take the scar off and it goes based on proximity? Like, is it a pushing daisy situation? Like, could we just put another vampire in a closet and then they get the mark instead of Dave?
Here's another question. I mean, I think you do have to wonder about how the transfer of the scar works. Number one, my first thought was, maybe we do transfer the scar to Damon. And then once Elena wakes up and he takes the cure, does the scar go away? Like, does the scar affect a human? But there's also similarly, like, let's say we're transferring a scar. Do I have to transfer it to an alive body? What if we have a corpse? Can I put the scar on a corpse? Or, like, if I put it on a human and I give them vampire blood to heal, will it heal since they're not vampires? Would the scar not have the same properties?
Well, and that's the real question that raises. She's already proven she's open to scar negotiations.
Yes.
So if I'm Stefan, I'm like, look, I respect Damon is bad. But if you want to know a really bad vampire, and then just pick one.
Yeah.
Or sorry to this person, turn a random dude and say, this guy has killed everyone. And the guy's like, what's going on? It's like, he's lying. Kill him, Reyna. I'm not saying that's nice to that random dude, like, well, sorry. But if the transfer of scars is open, like, she's proven she has some flexibility with it.
Yes, that she doesn't want to kill Stefan. So you just need to find someone more viable. And I think you could, I mean, I don't think they should do this for obvious reasons, but we could pitch Enzo.
That is true.
I'm sure there's someone they could raise, or like, worst case scenario, also call up Klaus, say, hey, do you have any vampires that are like a thorn in your side right now?
Yeah.
Basically, we need to transfer this scar. He knows about the scars, so he knows how that works. I would love to transfer it and then kill her. This vampire would die.
Yeah.
Like, is there any vampire you're willing to lose right now? Unfortunately, if only Julian were alive, we could transfer it. I mean, can he have two scars? That's another question.
Yeah.
But I think we need to follow the transfer of the scar somewhere down the line.
Yeah, that change in scar, I think, is key here. Now, I don't want it to go to Damon. I understand that's the suggestion that Damon had to raise. I get why he did it. I think it's dumb to suggest that it go to him, but I think the fact that it proved that she, one, can transfer the scar, and two, would, if the situation was right, I think that's very key information.
Yes, absolutely. Other than these plans, how do you see them actually getting rid of this scar?
So I think there's a key question here. This is semi-related to the scar. We have to consider, you know, at this point in time before the time jump, Reyna is in custody. So the question is, did she escape custody again, or was she let out by the armory?
That's a good question.
Because they couldn't keep her in custody for a day, but suddenly they keep her 3 years and then lose her. So I'm thinking that might have been a targeted attack.
Who do you think released her?
Alex.
To what end?
Maybe to kill Stefan. Because we know Enzo in the time jump is with Bonnie. We didn't get to see that scene again, by the way.
Yeah.
But maybe there's some reason to want her to finish her goal of killing vampires. They want her to track vampires down. Maybe there's some reason they want to go after the Salvators. Like, we don't know the motivations of the armory at this point in time, really.
But if the armory wanted to go after the Salvators, they had Damon there.
That's true.
Like, why couldn't they get them using Enzo? That seems like kind of a layup.
Maybe they want something to do with the Phoenix Stone. And they're like, if we, although I guess they would have it if she's in custody. Oh no, Matt had it.
And Matt could have given the sword to the armory because he famously called the armory in to help him capture Enzo. So we know he at least knows the armory, or he could contact the armory if he needed.
When we do see the way Caroline gets, you know, put in her little cabinet in the time jump, that looks like the armory is working with Reyna at that point.
Okay. What makes you say that?
There were like other people around that helped capture them, right? No, it was just Reyna. I think I'm mixing up with when they kidnapped Enzo.
Yeah, there were other people around, but it was like people who were working at the news station.
Yeah. But Matt has kind of an armory type outfit.
That's true.
It could be in connection with them somehow. I don't know why they'd want her out or to go after Stefan. Well, they might just want her out.
If they wanted her out, why would they capture her in the first place in the current timeline?
Well, maybe they wanted her at that time, and then something else happened in the time jump that made them either want Stefan dead. Like, maybe Stefan in his on the run time did something. Maybe Stefan's not really the target. Maybe they wanted to cause a distraction. They could go after Valerie or wanted, like, to get another heretic in the mix. We don't know Nora and Mary Louise's situation.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I think the armory is up to something with Miss Reyna.
Wow. You think the armory's up to something? You're so smart.
Particularly in teaming up with Reyna.
Okay. I see.
That's more of a thing.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, if you are enjoying Vampire Diaries and or Doppelgangers, please tell your friends and give us 5 stars rating and review on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
And follow us on Instagram at Doppelgangers Podcast.
But that's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye, brother.
Goodbye, brother.